Welcome to the Whiskey Congress. Honest, open talk dedicated to speaking the truth to those who are open to hearing it. Black, white, right, left. Most importantly, honest, bold, and fueled by good whiskey. In Whiskey Veritas, we are Whiskey Congress. Join the evolution.
Hey, Jim. How are you?
I'm well, man. How are you?
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Can you answer this for me? How the fuck you get fired on your day off?
you son of a bitch.
What, you trying to build a clubhouse? Like, what's going on, Jim?
Went in to get my check, and they... Listen, you're smoky. I did not get fired on my day off, although I did send you a text to that effect. I did leave my project on vacation for the best.
Just trying to figure out how you get fired on your day off, bro. You're stealing boxes?
Boss said he saw me taking boxes out the back. I just watched Friday like a couple weeks ago. Actually, it was last week. It's a funny movie.
It is a funny movie.
It's a great movie.
Just like Straight Outta Compton was a good movie.
It was Straight Outta Compton, but Straight Outta Compton didn't have the laughs that wasn't a yucks movie. I can't believe you started that way, you son of a bitch. You were just sitting on that way. So, oh, yeah. In fairness, I texted Steve today. I quit.
What? Don't ruin it.
No, okay. What did I say? One of the three things I have in common with Ice Cube. I'm 5'9", I'm stocky, and I got fired on my day off.
You ruined it.
I ruined it. Oh, damn, it's a shame. All right.
Either way. All right, so let's jump in.
So I saw a video... that I shared with you, and it was Tucker Carlson talking to a woman about Black Lives Matter. And Tucker Carlson to me is not my favorite person, and in the spirit of Steve and don't call names, I won't call him a douchebag or a sneaky.
Pens. I have access to bottle caps.
You don't have any bottle caps handy.
I can find them.
Anyway. So he's interviewing this woman. And I forget her name, but he
Jasmine
Tanner or something.
Anyway. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
She was relatively attractive.
She was a relatively attractive woman, and she, he quoted a bunch of stuff like, you know, this woman that you've supported has said these things.
Here, let me do this. All right. So Tucker Carlson interviews this woman. She is she's a civil rights attorney, and one of the Black Lives Matter more prominent members came out with bullet points on, you know, things white people can do to make things better, to help deal with the issues of inequality and racism, right?
Okay.
And kind of shed your white supremacy. Now, a lot of her bullet points are the
white privilege, I think it would be the better. White supremacy zones.
Well, white supremacy, white privilege, all that.
Okay.
What's frustrating, let me get to that first. Because what's frustrating is that her presentation of these bullet points hurt, again, the Black Lives Matter cause and the good work that they do on the ground. If you go to Black Lives Matter, if you go to their site and you go to About Us and you look at their tenets, what they believe in, things that they want changed. If I read them to you and I told you what they were, and maybe we should do this on the next show. And actually, I think we're going to do it on the next show.
Okay.
I'm going to read you some of the things that they want moved, they want changed, they want shifted. And a lot of people would be amazed at what they hear, because it's a lot of things that we hear from our well-respected economists, our well-respected politicians, our well-respected, you know, financial managers, planners, people we go to for that we, you know, the Warren Buffetts of the world and people like that. And if you listen to what they're saying, right, their actual message of what they want shifted, it makes a lot of sense. And if these things happened, it wouldn't actually only benefit black people. It would benefit everyone in the middle class and down.
Great
deal. And probably people in the upper and in your upper classes as well. But it would impact middle class families across the board and down. But it would allow mobility for those who are the most disadvantaged, which are typically going to be your blacks, your Latinos, your Native Americans. Okay.
Okay.
So that's the good of Black Lives Matter. Like their base premise of what they want and what they're trying to accomplish is very good, and it makes a lot of sense. This woman who spoke on behalf of Black Lives Matter with her bullet points on what white people can do to make things better, not so good, right? It just comes off as harsh and aggressive, and it
doesn't. Unrealistic. I mean, unrealistic. One of her points was,
right.
I heard, was,
one of her points was she need, that white people need to deed their homes to a black or a brown person.
Inherited homes.
Right, and all this other stuff. And things like that, those things just... By saying it that way, you're gonna make white people defensive, right?
Sure.
I mean, like, if people aren't gonna look at it for what you're trying to say, and I don't even know what you're trying to say with that point. It doesn't make any sense because theoretically, what if they deeded it to an already rich black family? So then, what would you say? You would have a right. criticism of that, right?
Yeah.
So this woman's bullet points are. Not the
destructive
point.
To
right.
The
they hurt the cause. But this attorney, what she was saying, and she was a white woman, and what she was trying to say was, listen, the attorney didn't agree with the Black Lives Matter representative. She didn't agree with her bullet points or what she was trying to say.
Right.
But the underlying premise, the underlying tenets are what we need to focus on. And Tucker Carlson had this look on his face when woman was talking. Right, I mean, just beyond the actual conversation, it was kind of a bizarre conversation. He couldn't get past the fact that they used the word white people,
right?
And you know,
you
playing
white,
the,
you're by definition being racist, aren't
right?
you?
Anytime you say the word white people, I automatically have to assume that you're being racist.
But
but the problem was the look on his face.
I call it resting dumb face.
It was his resting dumb bitch face. That's what it was. And as she talked more, it got worse. Like, his eyes sunk in more.
I don't know how I focused on it, but I couldn't stop
laughing. His head started to tilt a little bit more. And it's funny, you pointed it out to me. And as soon as I saw it, like, I'm looking at him, I'm like, close your mouth. Close your mouth, Tuck.
Exactly. Used to wear a bow tie for a living.
Put your lips together.
You can at least not be an open-mouth fly catcher.
And it's just like, by the end of it, his head was like almost like parallel with the floor. And it's just like, okay, lift the head up.
He got trapped in his own, situation where he quoted these things and he expected this woman to defend them. And instead of doing that, she said, I don't defend everything she said, but if you would listen to me. And she really schooled him. It was entertaining, but I couldn't get over
the
resting dumb face.
She didn't even school him that much, only because he didn't give her a lot
no,
to
he
work
cut her off,
right? Like one, he cut her off, but then, you know, he was so basic in his understanding or faux understanding of the situation, and he was essentially flipping the script, right? Where, you know, a black person calls, you know, something racist. You know, he was like, oh, well, if you say white people, then that's racist. And I'm just going to go to the very, Neanderthal thought process and just say that if you say white people, then that means you're not white.
You brought up race. Now, right. She is white. This woman is white. Mm-hmm. And she did where I thought she did school him, for the most part, you're right. She didn't school him. She simply didn't fall into his trap and he had nowhere to go because he's another mimbo on Fox.
That's exactly what it was.
But the one thing she said was, he said something like, you know, why do you have to make race part of this discussion? And she said, we don't. We both grew up white. We didn't have that working against us our whole lives. So let's put ourselves in the context of the people who are saying this. And he had nowhere to go with that.
Right. He just, he.
And he went,
yeah, he just had that. Oh, my God. It's frustrating. It was really frustrating.
I thought it was hilarious.
But, you know, the funny thing about that is, you know, we you and I were talking on the show a few weeks back. And you talked about your experience in a store where you're
shoe store.
You're white and
yep.
you're in a shoe store and the black woman is looking at you and you felt uncomfortable.
It was, well, it was what had just happened. Something really bad had just happened. And I just felt like this woman was like...
Charlottesville.
It was Charlottesville. You're right. And it was literally, I just thought this woman was... Basically, it wasn't clear if she was in line or not. And I was not going to presume she wasn't because she... had an agitated look on her face, and
which is standard for women around you, but okay.
Well, okay, that's unnecessary, but it makes you feel better, fine. But anyway, yeah, I was uncomfortable with the idea that this woman might think I was being a dick to her, given how racially tense things were those days.
Yeah, and so I guess my point is that you, at least were then to were able to have a little bit of introspection, retrospection, look at that situation and say, all right, that was uncomfortable, and you know, bring it to me, and then we can have a conversation about it, and I can say, all right, that's a little taste of
yep.
of a feeling that I have on a daily basis, right? Where Tucker Carlson in this situation just can't even get beyond the point that he just wants to say that if black people say that white people are racist, that inherently makes black people racist. I'm a genius, right? Like, right. I mean, like, that's the goal. That, like, that's what he's going for. And so...
And he thought he had a zing that he didn't have.
Right, and the zing never came. Except at the end, he says, well, after talking to you, this...
you make no sense to me, and we can't talk, and I'm right. Tucker Carlson, but bye now.
No, he said you make me lose faith in public education. Or something
right,
like that.
Right, yeah, something to that effect, education. Yeah.
And then he cuts her off, and she then went to the look of, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
But, and she didn't even know what to say, and then it goes to commercial.
He literally cut her off. But it was fun for me to watch, actually. I saw part of it in my hotel lobby last week, and I had to bring it to your attention. And so I looked it up, and then I saw the resting dumb face, and I'm like, this is hilarious.
Here's the thing. His face was funny to look at, but... Again, it's frustrating and sad because there is a large demographic of people who watch that show, who support and hunker down with anything and everything that Tucker Carlson says, and they will go back and say, he totally killed it. He was so right on everything he said. It made perfect sense to me that, like, I'm going to take that, and then I'm going to go tell that to Jamal at work because, you know, Jamal doesn't get it, and Jamal's a racist. So Tucker Carlson's the shit. Like, I mean, that's the frustrating part. There's a large percentage of people who watch him. You know, I mean, we could sit there and say, oh, well, Fox's, you know, numbers are tanking. Maybe they are, but they still get millions and millions of viewers who believe wholeheartedly what they say night in and night out. And there are a lot of people who watch that who think that, well, everything that Tucker Carlson said makes complete sense, and he won.
Well, and also, something we've talked about in the past, there will be multiple... postings of that exact thing that says Tucker Carlson schools Black Lives Matter apologist, and they won't even watch it. They'll see that headline and say, oh, he totally schooled that chick. Well, no.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that, and we've talked about that in the past, is that people don't read the stories. People
right.
don't watch the videos. They literally just look at the headlines. Like, you know, Twitter is, you know, everything in 141 characters. And so people look at a Twitter headline that there's a link to an article, and instead of pressing that link to see what the article says, they just say, oh, well, that's all I need to know.
That actually happened with our Twitter account this week. I got a call from my ex. She had gone to our account, and you had posted a Drudge Report article that said federal government is seizing guns in Florida.
It was
U.S. Virgin Islands.
Yeah.
But the headline was very deceptive. It was like, right. federal government issues mandatory evacuation, feds seizing guns. And so I listened to what was said there, and what was said was the federal government had said in the U.S. Virgin Islands, if the National Guard needs, you know, is under-equipped because of the circumstances of the storm, they can commandeer firearms from citizenry, which probably never happened. But then the article went on to say, watch, this is how they're going to take our guns. So we're right back to that.
I mean, I guess the weird thing about that is, like, how is that happening? I mean, like, how do we get to the point where the Virgin Islands says, we need to make this announcement, right? Like, just in case, you know, the storm comes and washes out the armory, then we need to go and seize people's guns in case shit breaks out, right? Like, I mean, that's the point that they're trying to make, right?
Yeah,
like, say they can't get to the armory, or all their weapons somehow get lost in the storm.
And Steve, who knows if anything was even decreed? Who knows if this wasn't just some, there's, you know, the National Guard playbook that in the event of this, you know, once you declare an emergency and declare this, that this becomes part of what is legal,
Right.
And then that gets spun into the feds are going to take your guns.
Right. It just, but the, I mean, the problem is this actually came from, you know, the government of the U.S. Virgin Islands. Right. Like, so they put it out there. And so it's.
Okay. Did they put it out there or did Drudge put it out there based on what legally changed? I don't know the answer to that.
No, it was disseminated by the government.
Okay.
So that's where everyone like kind of freaks out. And so my question is, okay, I'm with you to a point, but why would you even put that out there as a thing? Like, now you're going to have to defend this. I mean, listen, the U.S. government has no problems with kick you in the dick and then show you the rule where they're allowed to do it later. So I just assume this is the sort of thing that you just kind of hold on to and you don't worry about notice. You know, I mean, like, if you have it and it's on the books, then you have it, it's on the books, and you put it in your back pocket. If you need it, you use it, and you can shove it in people's face as you're taking their gun then. But to put it out now before you actually need it, like, you're only inviting, you know, this sort of criticism from the NRA and the Second Amendment nuts and everything else. You know, I mean, like, aren't you making it more dangerous for me? Like, if that actually comes to bear where you may actually, like, something were to happen, the Army is taken out, and you're worried because you're now exposed and you don't have enough weapons, and you go to someone's house and say, hey, do you have a gun? And they're just sitting there like, you're here to take my damn gun. I knew this was coming. Martha?
Well, the good news is that probably doesn't happen in the U.S. Virgin Islands. I don't think they're quite as...
And I'm pretty sure there's not a Martha on
there's probably no Martha's in the U.S. Virgin Islands.
With that accent either.
So there's no Southern plantation owners with wives named Martha in the Virgin Islands.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right. Anyway, yeah, that...
When my accents go askew.
Sometimes they do. All right, so we've been mostly apolitical throughout our, you know, the first episode and this, but there was a bit of an interesting shift in talk in Washington, right? So the debt ceiling has to get raised. And first of all, the debt ceiling, people don't seem to understand what that is. That is, in a way, it's a scary thing because it talks about how much money we owe, but it's not like it authorizes new things. It basically means that we are going to live up to our obligations as a country and pay our debts. And it's been a political tool that got used, held over Obama's head multiple times with threats to shut down the government. And
Clinton?
And Bush, Clinton.
They shut the government down.
Under Clinton, they shut the government down. And it's a political tool. It's something that you have two choices as politicians. You either... Well, you could get your spending under control and stop this, but that's crazy talk. But if you're not going to do that, which would kind of be awesome, put that aside.
We're not there yet.
Yeah. So you're left with two choices: either vote to raise the debt ceiling, or
acknowledge that the government is potentially
going to default on its debts, which would likely change our position as the stable economy in the world and would fuck us up beyond repair. So you really have no choice. You're doing this. But yet, it gets politicized. And in this case, it was kind of an internal Republican squabble that led to Trump reaching out to the Democratic side and really both sides. There was
Well, here's the thing. I think what was on the table... Well, this is getting just so splat. What was on the table, Republicans wanted this pushed out for 18 months. Democrats wanted it for 3 months, tied to relief for Harvey.
Right.
Okay, so essentially, Democrats said, raise the debt ceiling for 3 months, tie the relief money for Harvey in Texas to this, where if you don't do this, then they don't get money in Texas for the hurricane that just devastated in, you know, our second largest state. And, you know, like, those are your options. And if you don't do it, then, you know, we're going to default on our debts. We're going to shut the government down and we're going to put the country in financial ruin. Right. And the Republicans are saying, well, instead of pushing it out 3 months, why don't we push it out 18 months and come up with a solution and try to get the budget under control? Right. Like, so from now until then, we can work on different issues that we need to fix the budget, to work on tax reform, to bring more money in and figure out a way to pay our debts down so that we don't have to continue to raise the debt ceiling. That's what Republicans wanted, especially your staunch conservatives. Now, here's the thing. If it sounds like I kind of agree with the Republicans on this, I do. Right. Like, what is 3 months going to do? Do you know how many days that Congress is going to meet between now, right, today?
And the end of 3 months?
And the end of 3 months. And by the way, the end of 3 months is September to October, October to November, November to December, right? There's right. a major holiday in there being Thanksgiving, so you can pretty much scratch out that whole week.
Well
Christmas,
Christmas
right. after that.
After that, right, sorry.
But, I mean, I think between now and when the... You know, when this all comes to a head in 3 months, I think that they're only going to be in session a total of 18 days. Okay, so in 18 days.
I thought you were going to tell me the answer was zero.
All right, so
that didn't make sense. Zero made no sense, but 18 right. is.
But 18, so in 18 days, you're going to fix the budget and handle tax reform. All right, so you're right. going to rewrite our tax code, which is one of the most complex in the world, and you're going to fix a budget where we're a couple few trillion dollars in debt. I don't think you're going to do that in 18 days. Call me a pessimist. Call me a dick. Call me whatever you want to call me, but I think you need more than 18 days. I think you need more than 18 months to do it, but I'm definitely sure that this three month thing isn't going to really do anything. Because
no,
what's it going to accomplish?
Right.
What's it going to accomplish?
It
we're
going
to get to December,
without...
and then what's going to happen? They're going to do the same thing, right? They're going to do the same thing. They're going to say, all right, well, I mean, we're going to run out of money here in December, and the holidays are coming, and people need to get home to their families, and it's wintertime, you know, and Montana just got hit with a hell of a snowstorm, and so did Colorado, so... Let's tie some relief money to that, and let's get out of here so I can get to Maui. All in favor?
Aye.
You know, they extended another 3 months. You know, they tie something bullshit to it.
The political implications, though, of how mad the Mark Levins and Andrew Wilkows of the world are right now is entertaining.
Even
if it's to a false end or to a...
So, they should be upset. On this particular end, they should be, right? I mean, if you're a Trump supporter, if you're a conservative, if you're a Republican, fiscal conservative, whatever that, you know, wherever you fall on the spectrum of conservatism, you should be upset with this deal that Trump made. Because from a fiscal financial standpoint, it actually isn't a good deal. You know, anyone who knows anything about finance will tell you, like, this doesn't make any sense. All right. I don't think that knowing Mark Levin, knowing Andrew Wilkow, knowing the Breitbart crew, like, they're just upset because their main reason that they're upset is because this is what the Democrats wanted.
Right.
Right. They're upset because he did what the Democrats wanted. They're not looking at they're not so much upset with the fact that, you know, from an actual finance standpoint, this was a bad move. Like, they are citing that, but it's clear that they're just pissed that you gave a win to the Democrats. And when you give a win
right.
to the Democrats and to the left, then you're just, I don't know if I can trust you anymore. You know, I mean, it has
right.
nothing to do with
whether you failed to play straight politics.
Right. I mean, so that's the thing. And what I don't, this is the thing that baffles me, right? Like, where does Trump win here? Like, what does he gain out of doing
that's
this?
A great question.
You know,
I have no idea.
I don't see where he wins. He didn't need to do this for anything. Again, you have control of Congress. You have control of the Senate. You know, majority of the government. Like, you have so much control
and you've
of
already
power.
Exercised
you are
the
in the
quote
White
unquote,
House.
You've exercised the quote-unquote nuclear option already. So you've shown the willingness to take away the supermajority from the Senate and just ram things through for the Gorsuch nomination, which is a dumb thing for the Democrats to have dug in on. But so you're right. Why did they? I'm baffled about that. So, I truly don't know.
You know, part of me thinks that, you know, Trump is such a, he's such a narcissist. He's such a guy that needs to hear and feel adulation. He needs to feel that people like him and that he's winning, right? And so I think a part of this was, you know, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan had pushed back on him on healthcare reform, and he didn't get it. And nothing is really moving with tax reform. And so, you know, you have this whole DACA thing where, you know, we haven't talked about it a lot. But
we should have.
Probably. Yeah, I mean, the president comes out, has Jeff Sessions, interestingly enough, say that, you know, the president is,
suspending the
DACA executive order that was put out by President Obama. And there's the 6-month moratorium and then it kicks in. But Congress has an opportunity to come back and legalize it. And, you know, there's some questions there on if Trump really knows what this means and if that even makes sense. And I don't think that he gets it. Like, now that it's gone, it's gone. You know, at the end of 6 months, like, it's pretty much dead in the water. Congress, like, you don't have a Congress that really gives a shit about DACA or the people that it impacts. So they're not going to legalize anything. Like, DACA's gone, you know, for the foreseeable future until he's out of the White House. And I think that personally, he didn't completely understand that. And now, like, once people are explaining it to him, he's kind of like, oh, shit, what did I do? I didn't mean to do that. And I think now what we're starting to see a little bit is it's taken some time. But we talked about Trump eventually moving and navigating more towards the middle. Now, this isn't him navigating towards the middle because Bannon's gone, Gorka's gone, all that other stuff. This isn't him navigating and saying, okay, now I'm going to do the right thing, the smart thing, the sane thing. I think now he doesn't have guidance at all, right? I'm not saying Bannon and Gorka were good, but I'm not.
But they were
guiding him hands. What to do. Now he doesn't have that. Right, and I don't think he trusts Ivanka and Jared and the Trump boys to really be his political guiding light. So now this is just Trump being Trump. He's gonna do. This isn't about him moving left, moving center. This isn't about him doing what's best for the American people. This is him doing what's best for his ego. Okay, and right now
best for his ego, or is it a lash out at the people that have pissed him off?
Both.
Okay. Those
things are one and the same.
Okay.
Those things are absolutely one and the same. This is Trump saying, I need a win. I need someone who's going to back me up. You know, I've had enough. I've had a lot of losses. I haven't had a lot of people who support me. You know, people are talking bad behind my back. And maybe we're just at a point now where, you know, maybe my enemies are maybe my closest friends, and so I'm gonna work with them. And if that doesn't work, then I'm gonna go work with the super far right. And if that doesn't work, I'm gonna go work with Bernie Sanders.
Or maybe it's the people who are saying bad stuff about me. If I start doing what they want, they'll have to stop saying bad stuff about me. I don't know.
But it's
hard to get into that brain.
Right. I mean, but I think that is sort of the mindset that we're dealing with. It's not about savvy political moves. He's not out strategizing.
Totally agree there.
You know, there's people who are trying to put together this whole, you know, matrix on Donald Trump's strategy, and I'm just like, you can
chess move
right. Like, put your spreadsheet away. You can go ahead and fold up your chessboard. This is checkers, and this isn't even Chinese checkers. This is basic checkers,
straight up
basic checkers with the big pieces. And, you know, the instructions right here laid out on the side with a YouTube instructional video and someone making the moves for you. Like, I mean, like, this isn't that advanced. Like, he's a rudderless ship. He doesn't have a good idea. He doesn't have a good feel for how Washington works. He thinks that because he's the president, he is the supreme power. And he is now learning that he's not the supreme power. And that's pissing him off. So now it was, well, you know, I ran as a Republican, I ran as a conservative, so, you know, all those guys are going to do what I say and everything's going to be awesome, except for when they don't, and now they're not. So now he doesn't know what to do, and he's lashing out.
If you look at the history of it, right? I mean, during the Bush administration, very few Republicans had the balls to challenge anything done by them. Very few Democrats challenged Obama. So, and for different reasons, they were not as off-center as Trump has been. But now, like you said, he thought, I won with this brand. This brand will now lick my boots. And now that they're not, because he's been such a different kind of guy. That was my attempt to knock on
this. But here's in a way, this is me going to defend him a little bit. Hasn't been him. He's put something out there, directed, you know, at the direction of Bannon, at the direction of, you know, whatever his inner circle is, and well, it's changed so much.
Bannon was, I think, his go-to person.
Right. I mean, between, you know, Bannon, Sessions, who was the old chief of staff before Kelly? Reince Priebus.
Yes.
Right. I mean, just like you had all these different people who had input, and for one reason or another, they didn't work. And you had all these different voices who were supposed to be experts, and they were going to be the best of the best. And, you know, like he was going to surround himself with the best people. They were going to make the best decisions. We were going to do so much winning. We were going to be tired of winning. And then he gets in there. He realizes how hard it is. He realizes that he has a lot of people that are not qualified for the positions that they were placed in. And you mix that with the fact that he has no feel for politics whatsoever. Trump is an entertainer, period. I don't even think he's a great businessman.
I don't know.
Oh, because I can't believe that he's a great businessman, because there's no way that a good businessman would do what he did with the fucking debt ceiling, right? It just makes no fucking sense.
Well, I mean, Trump made his money in New York City real estate when you couldn't fuck that up.
Right.
And in casinos in Atlantic City when there was no other competition other than Las Vegas, and you had New York, Boston, D.C., and Philadelphia who wanted to do the things you can do in Vegas.
The home of Philly? It's a rap reference.
Okay. Of course, I know that.
Philadelphia Freeway.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Him and...
So anyway... All right, so a while back we talked about something else, and you and I were very much of different opinions. You thought the Democratic move was, if I may quote, to shut the fuck up. And I put out the idea that what I would like to see is Democrats putting out policies that, even if they weren't going to go anywhere, could be used in 20. Well, I mean, in a fantasy world, they go somewhere, but we both know they won't. But in 2018, they could be held up as banners, like, if you had us, here's what you would get. And we had Cory Booker bring up the, legalization of marijuana thing.
That was federally.
From a federal level. And now we've got Bernie Sanders, who says next week he will be introducing a bill to put a single payer system on the table. Obviously, it will not. It'll probably never get to a vote if it does.
So here's the thing. You're so obviously the Democratic Party, the DNC, they're listening to you and your voice on that, because you're seeing it across the board. Further and further left policies coming out, and they're going to be it's clear that they're going to be platforms for presidential runs in 2020. Right?
And congressional runs in 2018.
Presidential runs in 2020.
All right.
2018 now, like, if you and I were going to run for Congress or Senate or the Senate,
okay,
2018 is the year to do it.
Absolutely.
And here's the reason why.
You know I want to.
Because everybody, I mean everybody, is running for president in 2020. Everybody. Listen. It is from no-name guy on the street to random celebrity to congressman, senator, popular governors, mayors, people. Listen, I got two people out of Youngstown that may be running for president in 2020 that I know of. No names.
Okay.
No names, please.
All right. So,
back to it. If someone was going to run for office, lower level, congressman or something along those lines. 2018 may be the year to do it. I can't do it. My background is just too sketchy. But, you know, if you need a campaign
manager,
director, then, you know, then hit me up.
We have talked about this mostly jokingly, but...
Well, this is me pimping myself to anybody.
Oh, okay.
Not just
okay.
you.
Okay, that's just me.
This is me pimping myself to anyone who feels who that they
wants
may
a campaign
need,
manager with a who needs with a hand on the pulse of the of the of the people.
Right. With the, who, anyone
hand
who needs
pulse. That's not a good thing. Yeah. Thumb on the pulse would be better than the whole hand.
Anyone, right. That just seems like I'm sitting there choking people.
Yeah.
For
that,
votes,
that's how I just turned it out.
Which is about how I would go.
Actually, that's not so far off.
You're gonna vote for my guy.
Okay, Batman voice.
But.
But so Bernie's putting this out there, supposedly. Yeah. And again, I agree it'll go nowhere. We disagree. I think it is a stir the pot now, cash in 2018. And you're right. It'll definitely be a 2020 thing. We'll see. I love that he's doing it. I love that there's... So here's what is should be maybe the biggest frustration of Republican voters. They had been beating the drum that Obamacare was a disaster. Obamacare was a failure. Obamacare was whatever. We need to repeal it. We need to get rid of this. And for 6.5 years.
7 years.
7 years.
7 full years.
They offered no solutions.
Not one.
So if Obamacare needs to be improved, which it does, there's flaws with it. Now, how they got there, you've seen my rants on YouTube, I hope. But the fact that that they didn't get put into place, that should be falling right in the lap of the Republican Congress saying, what the fuck were you doing these 7 years? You were saying how terrible it was, and you proposed what as an alternative? To my knowledge, jack shit.
Jack shit, specifically. Jack and shit.
Jack and shit. And Jack just left. So... you know, this is what Bernie's doing is different than that. He's putting something out there, even if it goes nowhere. At least it shows that when you're not the party in complete control, you don't just shut it down. And
well, this is what I will say is, it's important that these things get put out there, and I'm not downplaying their importance of being out there, and this is why, because when you put these sort of things out there, they stay there for an extended period of time, which allows other people to dig into them and say, all right, section 1, 2, and 3 are garbage, but section 4 and 5
right.
and 7 are great. And we're going to take this piece from section 6. And that may give someone a base to build something better than what you offer. And that's why it's important that these things get that they get put out there, that they get presented. Because at least it's something, so that when, you know, some senator or congressman tells his staffer, hey, we need a bill on, you know, how to fix Obamacare, or we need a bill on how to deal with, you know, legalizing pot. It's reached ahead, and this is the way it's going to go. And I can get it through, right? Then you have something like this, like, okay, I can build off of
right.
this. We can
it's
make
it better.
It's a lot
easier to revise an idea or revise a document
absolutely.
Than to dig it up from scratch, right?
And it's important. So it's important that these things happen. I think the only place where we disagree is – I don't think this is for 2018. I think it's all fodder for 2020.
Okay.
I think it's all fodder for presidential runs.
And our, it was two shows ago or last show when you said that your advice is shut the fuck up to all Democrats, just let them tumble over themselves. You were talking political strategy, not what's the best thing to do.
Right. Like, I mean, I think from a strategic standpoint, you have to balance this, right? And so you also have to think about your ability to win, right?
Right.
I mean, we talk about this all the time. And you can sit here and talk to me all about how Republicans are just fucking up time and time again right now. But I mean, they just, they've won so many. Look at how the number of elections that they've won, the number of seats that they have. They have the presidency. So you can tell me you have all these great plans, but I'm telling you right now, like, you're telling, the problem is I'm hearing a lot of the same shit that I heard leading up to this last election. And what did that get you? It got you boat raced.
Yeah.
Right. It got you boat raced out of everything.
You just did basically a Will McAvoy quote from The Newsroom. You know why people don't like liberals? Because they lose. If you're so fucking smart, why do you lose so fucking always?
Right. So this is a great show.
It was a great show.
But so that being said, like, I'm hearing a lot of the same ideas, premises, principles that got you crushed in this last election cycle. And so my thing is that if you don't have new ideas, or you can't make the old ideas that you had sound a whole hell of a lot better, then I need you to shut the fuck up. I need Hillary Clinton and her book to go away. I need... Okay. I kind of give an amen to that. I kind of need Bernie Sanders to go away, right? Like, I get it, you got a raw deal, right? But here's the thing. Like, one, you're fucking 75 years old.
Okay, difference though, Bernie Sanders is still in the United States Senate. Hillary is on the outside looking in.
I know.
I know you do, but that's a big difference, right?
It's fair. Like, he's still an active senator. So I can't get him to go away, even though I want him to.
But isn't he the kind of guy you want to throw the grenade out there? He's got nothing to lose. He has nothing to lose.
Except he's got the elections of other people, and he's got the fate of the Democratic Party is what... happen is what he loses. Now, it doesn't matter to him. He's worth a couple few million dollars.
Right.
You know, although he's got his own issues to deal with. But he's 75 years old, worth a few million dollars, living in fucking Vermont. He's fine. Right. He has nothing to lose politically.
He's got nothing to lose.
Right. He has nothing to lose politically. But everybody else, I do. I have a hell of a lot to lose. I don't want to live in a world again. I don't want to see Trump reelected. I'm not going to say I don't want to live in a world, but I don't want to see Trump reelected. Right. And obviously, if he fucks it up for me because he just wants to throw shit out there about single payer. Single payer may be the greatest thing on fucking earth, but if 30% of this country doesn't agree with it, then guess what? It is never going to get fucking implemented.
I don't think he's ruining the Democratic cause.
I'm not saying he is, but I'm saying he better fucking watch it. He better fucking watch it. Because if he keeps fucking around and we lose and we get our ass sandblasted again after this, so we've seen everything that fucking Donald Trump has to put on the board, right? He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Everybody around him is incompetent. It's a complete circus and shit show. It's, you know, we're going to have to deal with more Russia investigations and more this and more that and just distraction and everything else. All of that. He only won that election by a small percentage, by about 80,000 people total, right? So we need a small shift to get it going back the other direction. Okay,
and you don't think energizing the Bernie move would have done
that? Let me explain this to you. We need a small shift to go left. Wrong hand. We need a small shift to go left, all right, to get it to go our way. But a small shift, even the smallest shift, a little bit right. And he's got Trump and company have another 4 years in office.
I don't believe that to be true.
I don't believe
that if there's a push towards the Bernie mentality that reelects Trump. Personally, I don't think Trump runs again, to be honest with you.
Well, that would solve a lot of problems.
It would change things a lot. I'd be curious to see who did run.
Kasich's already pretty much said he's running.
And good. I mean, you know what? I told someone the other day about our argument about John Kasich. Not our argument, but my comment about John Kasich, how pissed I am that he didn't take the vice presidential nod. And you and others said to me, don't you understand why he didn't? And of course I do. And then you and others have said to me, wouldn't you have done the same thing? And I would have. But I would now be mad at me. Mm-mm. Because
no, he couldn't.
I think he could have.
John Kasich.
This has been Whiskey Congress.
John Kasich couldn't have done anything to prevent the last 7 months.
Here's what I think he could have done. I think Trump was happy to be the apparent leader and let other people do the work. And when he not when he chose Mike Pence, who's
as long but as long as he was surrounded by initially Steve Bannon,
I don't think he would have been surrounded by Steve Bannon if Kasich was in there. If Kasich was the vice president, I think it would have been a totally different
Jim,
surrounding staff.
Those positions were like initially
were earmarked. You think
they were earmarked for people? Every position around Trump in his administration
was earmarked for people to kiss his ass.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
I'm not saying you could be right.
What do you mean I could be right?
I mean you could be right.
Every single person that got a job in that administration was someone who was a surrogate for Trump during the campaign. Every single person.
True.
So there was no room for John Kasich to affect any change because John Kasich wasn't going to kiss Donald Trump's ass. Even if he accepts the position, he wasn't going to compromise himself. And he knew that.
He would have had to compromise himself to take the position. I know I'm speaking out of both sides of my mouth of this. I'm just mad.
But him in that position, even John Kasich being the man that he is, if he goes into that position as the vice president of the United States, I guarantee you in our Deadpool, he would be one. He would be number one. He would have been the first one to go. He would have done zero good because he probably would have been out before fucking General Kelly. Or not General Kelly, General Flynn.
Flynn, thank you. I was like, I'm not going to come up with you. Yes. Look, I'm not saying you're wrong because I know you're right, but I'm going to live in my hypothetical world for my own fun. That was, in my opinion, the Hail Mary to save the Trump election. And
there's no Hail Mary to save it, Jim.
Now we're down the road.
What I'll tell you is what would save it would be that Trump would have to have a come to Jesus.
He's a man of prayer, by the way.
The Holy Ghost and the Father and the Messiah all at once, right? And recognize the damage that has been done over the last year and a half. And he would have to dedicate himself to rectifying all of that, right? And make amends with Obama, make amends with Hillary, make amends with the different foreign leaders. Bo is neck to Putin. Which I would suggest going and buying a fucking couple of cane corsos to take with you when you go to Russia. You know, that's Putin's thing. He's got these big hounds that he takes to, you know, like Angela Merkel, I guess, is terrified of dogs. So Putin goes to meetings with her and he brings his giant hounds with him. Like if I were elected president, the first thing I would do, I'd like, give me the two healthiest, scariest fucking cane corsos you could find. Right, and cane corsos are big dogs that are a combination of fucking Rottweiler and Mastiff.
Putin's not afraid of dogs.
No, he's not afraid of dogs, but
my dogs
are bigger and badder than his dogs. And I would say, oh, those are nice little
chihuahuas you got there,
right.
Tough guy.
Right,
look at me.
You know, and I would go in like I mean, it's just like, oh, so they got pictures of you shirtless riding a bear. This is me
riding a horse. No.
This is me in a Speedo
riding a bear. Right.
You know, I mean, like that's how you have to deal with him. But listen,
all right,
this presidency is going down in flames. Trump recognizes it. He is lashing out, and he's trying to do whatever he can to save it. He's doing whatever he can do to you know, say this isn't my fault. I tried to work with everybody. And you guys all suck. I'm taking my, you know, $1.2 billion or whatever I'm worth, and I'm going home, right? And so for the Democrats, they have to play this smart. Do you need to go super far extreme left? You know, some people want that. And, you know, we talked to Dr. Leon. I want to talk to Dr. Leon again. I want to dig into that more. And we should probably figure out you know, when we're gonna have him on. All right, next.
Reach out to him.
You know, let's talk to him, because that's something that obviously it's a thing. Bernie's doing it, like you said, with single payer. We're seeing it with Cory Booker, and the legalization of marijuana. What we're also seeing is Kamala Harris is not doing that. She's not going super far extreme left. She says she does support a $15 minimum wage. That's kind of her, you know, toe in the water sort of, look how left I am. But, I mean, she was a former prosecutor, so she's only going to go so far left, I think. But those are your kind of, like, big, well-known names. Some other names to toss in there, Tim Ryan. You know, someone mentioned Tim Kaine, which I think Tim Kaine wants as much of the presidency as I want fucking rhubarb pie. Which is not okay. At all.
Please explain your fondness for rhubarb pie. Right, or lack thereof.
I don't have a fondness for rhubarb pie, so
it is pretty disgusting.
It's not good.
I don't like it at all.
It's sour.
We used to make strawberry rhubarb pie to make it palatable. Even God, that, like, I mean, it's just rhubarb.
A fucking throat punch. I mean, which is just not what you want out of a pie. but that being said, I just the Democrats have to be careful. They have to start to think strategically, and they have to start to not just do the things that we all wistfully want. Like, I mean, when I think of single payer, that's something that's like a pie in the sky, sort of wouldn't it be awesome if we had it, but is it really feasible right now to just shift to that based off of what we have, maybe transitioning over time, but let's think about realistic solutions and think about the fact that if we want to win this election, we're going to have to draw people from the middle right back to our side.
All right, but let me respond to that. When the elections, shortly after the election, there were all kinds of right wing or Republicans going through town hall meetings, and they were getting crushed. And the Republicans were in town hall meetings, and they were bashing Obamacare. Obamacare had been previously known to be the worst thing ever, and these Republicans were finally going to get rid of. They're going to repeal and replace, and they were getting tons of pushback in their own districts. And I wish I could remember the name of the Florida congressman who played the death panel card and got shot down when he claimed the death panels existed, and constituents started booing him. And he said, how many of you have read the Affordable Care Act? And roughly half the crowd raised their hands. And his response was, I doubt that. So I do think that there is a political win in showing we're not accepting status quo. We're going to push towards this stuff. Again, Obamacare, the same people who were telling this guy, shut the fuck up, were probably 5 years ago talking about how Obamacare was essentially,
Okay, so that's where you and I agree, by the way.
Okay.
Status quo not acceptable. We have to start to push towards change. But what I'm saying is it needs to be more strategic. And going out and saying, all right, well, we need single payer. Well, that's not strategic. That's not strategic. That is like punching me in the face with a fucking sledgehammer and saying, see, look at me convincing you. Like, that's not quite the way I would do it. And because and my only reason is because I don't think that it's a winner. Now, there's other people who do, who obviously Bernie's camp, Cory Booker's camp, other Democrat, your camp. I mean, you think it's a winner? I don't. I don't think we have enough progressives that are going to show up and vote, because there's a lot of progressive people out there who have a lot of shit to say, but they don't show up to the voting booths. And you know how I know that is because in the numbers of people who vote.
Right. But didn't a lot of those same progressives not vote for Hillary because Bernie got shoved aside?
Sure.
And so isn't getting them back out there a way to go? And wouldn't taking the healthcare issue out of the for-profit public sector and into, or at least into the option of, hey, here's what you do when you need healthcare, wouldn't that energize lower middle income voters dramatically if you get the message out there?
That's key. You need because, to... I mean, you're telling me, like, listen, here's my thing with single payer. You're telling me, essentially, I'm going to have the government running the healthcare, right?
I disagree. I don't think that's quite right. I think I'm telling you the government will handle the
administration?
Financial administration of it. Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
How are they doing with the VA?
In some areas, very poorly. In some areas, pretty well.
Okay. Not good.
Well, you know, I mean, I've got a friend who's got uncles in the VA.
You've got areas where they handle it okay.
They handle it very well. I mean, I've personally seen this.
Fine. All right, but there's multiple places, enough to where it's an issue, to the point where they've fired multiple heads of the VA, right? Because it wasn't handled well at all. Right. I mean, we see the issues with our veterans on the streets day in and day out. Listen,
the actual hospital care. You're right that overall how we handle veterans' health is a totally different issue. And you're right.
But that's the thing. You're the Veterans Health Administration, right? So I'm going to need you to handle that better. Right, that's a federal run agency, and we've seen HUD is a complete fucking mess. The Department of Education is a complete fucking mess, and now we're gonna have you want to hand over the financial administration of an agency of the entire nation's fucking healthcare, and we assume that that's gonna go smoothly and make a whole hell of a lot of sense, and we're gonna get to the level of Canada in when?
Well, I don't know. I don't say we want to get to the level of Canada. I don't think Canada's doing a great job in a lot of areas, but.
But they've been, look how long they've been doing it. And you mean to tell me that we can't get to the level that Canada's doing
it? I think we should start out past them. I think that what we have in terms of healthcare options are so much better. And you want to point to the VA? What about Medicare, Medicaid? Are they perfect? No. They're pretty good. They're a hell of a lot better than my current policy. I've got a private policy that I... frankly, don't even know what I get. Maybe it's great. I don't know.
Sounds like that's more on you.
But it was with maybe we agree or disagree. I don't know. But healthcare and healthcare administration should not be for profit, in my opinion. I'd rather have a government agency than a for profit company with a seven-figure, eight-figure CEO. Are you giving me the finger? I couldn't tell.
I'm not giving you the finger. I will firmly always.
Okay, yeah, it's usually not shy.
Right, my middle finger is very long and very.
Put your middle fingers high in the air.
Listen, I get where you're going with that, but at the
yes, Steve, you were going to finish
at
that
the
thought.
Heart, at the heart of it all.
You check the swing. I'll give you the same. He didn't say at the end of the day, if you listen to the show, you know why that's funny.
At the heart of it all, that Smirnoff Ice is going to go bad before it's used. Still run by people. Still run by American people with experience in our current healthcare system. All right, whoever is going to be running this, and so, I don't know. Right. Man. I mean, you're right. I have a hard time believing. Like, I work with the federal government on a very consistent basis. They suck.
Oh, I understand that.
They are slow. They are inefficient. They have processes and rules for the sake of having processes and rules that make no sense, that hurt business, that hurt the advancement
housing. So you're trying to help people, disadvantaged people, safely, comfortably live, yes. And you have to fight the government on a regular basis. I get that.
Like, literally, I have to fight the government and explain to them their programs that they put out. The rules that they need to follow, I have to explain to them on a daily basis. I have to work them through their own procedures and policies and manuals every fucking day. And now you mean to tell me that these people can barely put roofs over people's heads, and now you're going to give them the ability to administer health benefits for everybody? Come the fuck on. Like, all right, I'm speaking from firsthand experience, and I'm telling you, maybe they can get it right in 50 fucking years. Okay, so by the time my daughter is almost, you know, by the time my daughter is ready for AARP, maybe they'll have it under control. But are you fucking kidding me? This is just, I'm sorry. I think it's a fucking horrible idea.
All right.
Sorry. I just have to put it up.
I don't think we're going to come to an agreement on this tonight. I do want to talk about something we talked about last episode.
Bizarro world.
Look, we can keep going if you want.
No. I'm saying bizarro world, but this is where we're going.
So, Ezekiel Elliott, you pointed out that his investigators had personal interest in his not playing because it was a Giants fan. And you told me that. I didn't know that. Now it's out there in the public. Like, this woman that was part of this investigation had a personal motivation that was beyond my level of Bills fandom or your level of Steelers
fandom.
Someone
did a documentary on her basement on the level of, you know, Giants
the shrine
fandom, right, the shrine that it was to New York Giant football. So, I mean, this is the person who, you know, the New York Giants and Dallas Cowboys, although it makes no regional sense, are in the same division, same conference and same division. And so they compete for, you know, like if the Cowboys lose and the Giants have a better chance of winning, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. But this woman is a Giants fan.
Yes.
So as a Giants fan.
A giant Giants fan.
She then maybe has a little bit of an interest in seeing Ezekiel Elliott not play. And so, I mean, and it's hard to, whether she says, even if she says, no, I'm going to be fair and balanced, it's hard to believe her.
Yeah. And then, anyway, what a weird story. And now his case has been temporarily pushed forward. So the suspension is not going to be upheld. I mentioned to you.
Well, what's happened? Hold on. So what happened? You had the suspension. The NFLPA, the Players Association, which is the labor union, they challenged it in court.
Right.
And they, really smart move, they took it to a Texas federal court, right?
Because they couldn't be biased in favor
they
of it.
Couldn't be biased in any way. And this court out of Texas says, we are going to put a temporary restraining order on this. This is not going to be allowed to pass. And we need to look into this further, and you're not gonna hurt the earning power of this individual while we investigate. We'll figure it out, and then, you know, if it comes out that the suspension should be upheld, then, you know, the suspension will be upheld at that point in time. But until we figure that out, he is allowed to play. Right? Next hearing date isn't until after the season. Right? So Zeke,
gotta love that court system.
So Zeke will be playing. So I am a goddamn genius because I took Zeke in the second round of my fantasy draft, and everyone said I was crazy.
You know, my buddy in Florida asked me if what he should do, and I'm like, Dan, I don't know. I wish I had manned up and said, push for it.
You know, I mean, it's funny because people were, you know, giving us a hard time. You know, me and my buddy have a team together because we're in a league where it's relatively costly to you know.
Okay.
But it's a large pot at the end, so it makes it worth it. But we took Zeke early, and my thought was one of two things. One, he could appeal it and win and play right away. Or
that wasn't going to happen, though, right? We've seen the
pushback
and the whatever.
Well, I didn't know because of the way, I mean, you know, I had started to hear early on some of the stuff about the investigator not being listened to and all that other stuff. So, I mean, I started to hear that stuff. And my other thought was, okay, he could either appeal it and win. He could appeal it and take it to court where you get this situation where, you know, it's he gets a temporary stay on the suspension, or the suspension goes forward and, you know, he, you know, loses the six games. Either way, we get Zeke right in the middle of the season, and he's an impactful player. And right now, we look like geniuses. Took a lot of heat, took a lot of criticism, and to the rest of my fantasy league, Jim, what do you see?
I see two middle fingers high in the air.
Okay. That's to my fantasy league.
Oddly not directed at me.
From Thunderclap. Thunder!
All right, that doesn't help. So two more things we should talk about. I want to talk about the face. So I've listened to right wing radio a lot this week, and and their whole thing is, why aren't you investigating Facebook? Why aren't you asking about collusion with Facebook? Apparently, Facebook took some money from Russian advertisers. Okay. They're a private organization. Not private. They're a public organization. You give me money, I do this. Now, how it went down, not so great. But to try to equate that to Trump administration officials colluding with Russians to undermine an election, apples and oranges to me.
So this is what I would say. You're right, on the surface. Now, as a curious investigator, I would dig.
Oh, bit. Sure.
Dig. I'd be like, Mark, what'd you know? What'd they say to you? You know, when they bought this advertising, what was said? What were the transactions like? Like, I would dig into it. Absolutely. It's worth it to figure out what went wrong. And then I would talk to Mark and say, so.
But any idea? Well, first of all, Facebook's an international organization. There's probably...
Yeah, they are. I fully agree. But there's, like, as an investigator, knowing with everything that's going on, you can still go in and poke around a little bit. And I would poke around as far as I could poke around. And I would throw out as much as at him and the organization as I could. You know, even to go as far as to say, hey, I mean, you know, people are using your platform to shift international national elections of major countries. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on preventing that, or how are you going to impact that?
That's fair.
You know, I'm not saying I'm going to
govern your own. If you're just purely for profit and don't care about anything, okay. Own that.
But even still,
he said it, folks. The check swing did not go around. Next episode will start with Steve drinking a Smirnoff Ice. So you're saying? I'm sorry. You're saying?
Ugh. Ugh. All right. Just make a note of that.
All right. I will. Don't you worry.
So I would strongly push Zuckerberg into explaining to me exactly what happened. And, you know, pushing him towards making or working on preventing it from happening again.
And looking at how they vet.
And the reason why where I was going before I fucked up and maybe I shifted myself into a diabetic coma the next time we get together.
Yeah, you can't make a novel without cracking some eggs. I'm sorry.
It's because you can tell him that, listen. If you get someone in office that is tied to Russia, that is loyal and faithful to another foreign agency or foreign
especially
entity,
one that has your does not have your best interest, bless you, your best interest in mind. Yes,
there's no other country in the world that has our best true. Interest in mind. Period. They could easily manipulate, like if they're all working together, colluding together, then the leader of this country who gets voted in because of all this propaganda and all this other bullshit could vote in or make a rule or a mandate that limits your ability as an organization, as a company. They could limit Facebook's power. They could cut off your sources of income. They could shut you down altogether. They could call you a danger and a menace, right? Like they could say, all right, well, we used you to get us into power, and so since we don't want anyone else to use you to get you into power, we're going to figure out a way to say that, you know, if you are a social media company, blah, 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 this, that, and the other, you can't exist, right?
We can regulate you in a way.
We're going to regulate you to the point where you're utterly useless.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like that's, I mean, and that's.
So you're saying it's in Facebook's best interest to dig into this?
Sure. Absolutely. Okay.
I need to know more about like what exactly that money, where that money came from and how it gets vetted. I don't know enough about it, but I agree that it should get looked into.
What all my internet marketing people will tell you is that's bullshit. I'm not vetting my money. I don't have time for it. You know, it's, you know, free market principles, and you know that anything else is. And I'm not saying they're wrong, but there's a nexus of free market enterprise and, you know, political slash national security that need to come together. You know, in situations like this, you know, with where we are with technology, it's a place that we haven't been before, and we have to start to look at things through a different prism. We have to start to look at things at different angles to really truly understand them and to prevent the sort of chaos that is seems to be building on the horizon.
I won't dispute that. I agree.
Maybe not more. I'm not saying we necessarily need more censorship, but before we get to levels of censorship, maybe we look at, I don't know, access. You know, who we're giving access to, which is almost the same thing. But
Steve, I think it's the opposite of censorship. I think it needs to be disclosure. I mean, kind of just like Citizens United. I think the more transparency is a better word than disclosure.
There you go, transparency.
So, okay, you want to do this, and who are you? You know, we saw this so many times in our political process within our, you know, we're American for patriotic greatness. Okay, and sounds your money is coming from the Koch brothers who have these financial interests. Okay, we should know that.
The funny thing is, they used to be, you know, the worst people in the world, and
the
now
Koch brothers,
right? I mean, and now they're almost they're almost in a role where they seem like resistance fighters, you know. I mean, because the Koch brothers are not Trump fans at all. They have their own interests always and still, but you could see that there's maybe a shift in their ideology. Maybe not necessarily for the greater good.
Ideology, but
well, no, I think there's definitely a shift in their ideology. I think there's definitely been a shift, not a major landmark shift where,
okay,
you know, like they're just giving all their money to poor people. But I mean, I think that they're recognizing
government dysfunction and just saying this is bad for everybody.
Right.
All right. So one other thing I have to ask, did you see any of the Alex Jones Hurricane Harvey shit?
Oh, Alex.
He was out there saying how these black gangs are bragging about looting white people. And he was following two Twitter accounts that turned out to be totally fabricated. So we ended our last show talking about what a con man Rush Limbaugh is. And he has, to some degree, been replaced by our buddy Alex Jones. And, you know, again, it's one of those things where how much oxygen do you want to give this guy? I don't know. But at what point do people who listen to him wake the fuck up and realize he's a lunatic? I know we talked about him last show too, but he's a fucking lunatic. He makes shit up. He gets caught in lies all the time and walks away unscathed. And I know that was exactly the point you were making earlier, but what does it take for people to say, all right, that's too far. That's too much. You made shit up.
Okay. Jim.
Yes.
Jim. Hey, buddy. You okay?
I'm good.
How you doing over there?
I'm great.
All right. We're talking about Alex Jones and his base. Okay?
True.
If he didn't lose his entire base when he was talking about fish people and little babies with gills.
I saw the babies with gills. And
he's crying about fish people and babies with gills. Okay. That he saw. If he didn't lose his base when he said that Obama and Hillary smell like sulfur because they're agents of the devil, right?
They're demons.
If he didn't lose his base when he had the whole gay frog expose.
They're turning the frogs gay.
Because they're turning the frogs gay, because they're turning everybody else gay, and everybody's going to be gay by the end of 2020. If he didn't lose his base after all of that, you really think?
I didn't. I'm asking, what does it take?
Okay.
Is there a tipping point?
But the fact
there's
that
none?
There's not, right? Like, his base, if they're going to follow him into the depths and realms of hell with frog, gay frogs and fish people and demons and sulfur.
Well, then black looters during a hurricane, that's a walk in the park.
Right. That, I mean, his followers would say, oh, that's an innocent mistake.
By the way, during the day he claimed all this was happening in the entire region around Houston, there were a total of 14 arrests. By Houston standards, that's probably down by a factor of 10.
Right.
And that's just not directed at anything other than the bad things that were supposedly happening. It actually seems like, regardless of race or economic level,
this is what it is.
People came together pretty
well. This is what it was. Alex Jones was, he hedged his bets. You know, there was looting with Katrina. Katrina was bad.
Oh, well,
right.
There was survival instinct, though, right? There's a difference. Yeah. If you're carrying a widescreen TV, you're looting. If you're carrying toilet paper and water, you're surviving.
I'm not arguing with that. But what I'm saying is that there was that going on where people had been stranded for a week or more, and you know, they finally got to a place, there's a store, there's nobody there, fine, fuck it, I'm going in and I'm taking whatever, if there's anything there, I'm taking it. Surviving, toilet paper, yeah. Food, orange, a bottle of water, a soda, whatever, I'm taking it. Like, I mean, we're starving, we're dying, we're dirty, we're infected, we need help. So that was an easy story. So what Alex Jones did was he hedged his bets. It was bad in Houston, so he was willing to say this was going on. He followed a bullshit Twitter account and then, you know, was able to basically recycle the story from Katrina, but it wasn't true. It wasn't accurate. He was following a phony account, and
Selling the life extension bone broth that only has, well, all right, I won't go down that road. All right, man, you ready to shut this down?
Yeah.
All right. Good talking to you as always. Had fun. Don't know why I had to start with me getting fired because I didn't. Fake news.
Real news.
I didn't get fired.
Fired on your day off.
On my day off.
Trying to steal boxes.
Okay, Smokey.
Trying to build a clubhouse.
Anyway, good talking to you, man. We are Whiskey Congress. We're on at Whiskey Congress.
You're going to help me get everything ready for the smoked meat tomorrow?
Sure. Right. There'll be smoked meat and Ohio State versus Oklahoma tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
Not to mention opening NFL week on Sunday.
I got more whiskey. I got more beer.
We can do this.
We'll get the smoker ready.
Oh, that's whiskey, beer, cigars, and smoked meat.
Yes.
Hard to argue with that.
I don't live far from strip clubs. It's a real nice time.
On that note.
But my child is sleeping upstairs. There's that. So there's that.
On that note, and we can't bring smoked meat into strip clubs. It's frowned upon.
Smoked meat in the strip club every time.
And we are done. Thank you for listening to Whiskey Congress. We're out.